Hello, everybody. This is Dr. Diana Wiley, your host of Love, Lust, and Laughter. Nancy Sutton Pierce is returning to this program. She was on with two other wonderful, amazing women, Dr. Ava Cadell and Lori Handlers, who was my guest last week. Nancy is quite a special lady. She wears many hats. And we'll talk about that in her Eroticos Film Festival, which just happened in Jamaica last month. Welcome to this program, Nancy.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
You really are a fascinating woman, and you have many websites, and I've had fun perusing them. And I like it when you say that you're a curious woman with wearing a variety of professional hats. You're a registered nurse, a health educator, a yoga therapist, a sex columnist, radio talk show host. Isn't that fun to do?
Yes.
And then you created the very first Eroticos Film Festival, and you say that it's a culmination of all your years of helping people get comfortable with their personal expression of sexuality and sensuality. We're on the same page there because, that's one of the intentions for this program as well, as we discuss sexuality and relationships and have very interesting, provocative, articulate guests like yourself. So you went really from, you're still doing this, I guess, you're a registered nurse, to being a creator of an erotic film festival. What was that journey like, and how long did it take, and what inspired you particularly?
Well, I've been a registered nurse for 30 years,
mm-hmm.
And I haven't been actually a practicing registered nurse for the last 12 years. I've switched from doing medical care to doing more preventive care when I opened up a yoga studio and became a yoga therapist. Went back to school, studied for 3 years at the Iyengar Institute in San Francisco, and then 2 years with a primary teacher, Mukunda Stiles, in the structural yoga therapy model.
Mm-hmm.
So I incorporate my health education because I was a diabetes nurse specialist for 13 years.
Mm-hmm.
I was an OB nurse at one point. I have always been an educator. I think I was born to be an educator in some way, shape, or form. So no matter what capacity I'm doing, I'm somehow end up being an educator. So going from nurse to all of those things just was a natural progression for me. It was.
Yes, and then you had a vision, and as I understand it, it occurred somewhere about 15 months before the actual Eroticos Film Festival took place at Hedonism 2 in Jamaica last month, mid-last September. So this was certainly something you wanted to do as an educator, too. Can you explain that a little more?
When I hear you talk about it, it's kind of humorous because I'm thinking, how does one leap from being a yoga therapist to doing an erotic film festival? Well, plug in the middle there, about 4 or 5 years ago, I was asked to write a sex column.
Oh, yes.
Anybody who knows me knows that I'm very open about sexuality. I'm free to talk to people about sex, relationships, intimacy, those things. I don't have an issue talking about that. And so a friend of mine who runs a news magazine wanted me to start writing for her. And so in doing that, one of the columns I wrote was on the difference between erotica versus pornography, trying to understand people's perceptions. So I interviewed many people, men and women, and it became clear to me that men didn't have a clue that there was a difference. When you say erotica, they hear porn. When you say porn, they hear erotica. They don't divide them.
Mm-hmm.
Women, however, seem to have a much clearer perception. they they weren't comfortable with pornography, or they didn't, they weren't drawn to it necessarily, but they were curious about erotica. So in writing these columns, my husband and I were having a discussion about some of the feedback I'd been getting, and over our weekly coffee date, and one conversation led to the other, and we'd start talking about, I wonder if there's any erotic film festivals. So we started looking up erotic film festivals, thinking that would be kind of fun to go, because it was very hard to find erotica.
Yes, you can find porn festivals.
Easy. Or you can find porn, just type in, porn is the number one search on Google, by the way.
Is it?
Yeah.
Not surprising.
And so you, yeah, of course, it's easy. Everybody's a pornographer now with a cell phone.
Oh, yeah. And also, this takes away so much from creativity.
Right.
And the sort of an artistic approach. And your films, you had films submitted from how many different countries?
17.
And people, your Eroticos film festival films, it's eroticosfilms.com. Right?
Or film festival.
Or
either
film
one.
Festival, yeah. I went to film festival. But Eroticos, E-R-O-T-I-K-O-S, films.com or filmfestival.com. Says a lot about your films that were submitted, and then people can also go to your personal website, nancysuttonpierce.com, P-I-E-R-C-E, to get more information about this very talented woman that is my guest today, and I'm so happy about that. So, number one search on Google is porn. And I think it would be illuminating and useful for this listening audience for us to talk about the differences between erotica and porn.
I would love to.
Yeah.
First of all, for me, when I learned that the number one search is porn and or sex, it just tells us that people want to talk about it. People want to know more. People are curious. It's natural. It's ingrained. We're not going to educate ourselves out of being sexual. So that being said, people want more. But women seem to want more mind sex, more stimulation to their fantasies, to their creative side of the brain, to get them thinking about it and inspired to see more, know more, do more.
And I would just add here too that my experience has been that women will get into the hottest sex if they believe it's honest.
True. Right.
Women just want a reason for the sex being there. It needs to have emotional authenticity, maybe a narrative. Well, you go on, because we're already starting to distinguish between erotica and porn, and there are some very important distinctions. But so people are curious, you were saying.
Yes. And so that being said, you know, women want more more thoughtfulness. Also, like you said, women want more honesty, which means if you're going to watch a film with people having sex, you want to believe that they're really having sex and that they're really enjoying sex. And it's very difficult to find porn that depicts women actually having a great time.
That's
it's
very
much,
true.
Much more male-oriented because it's geared to the male audience. I have many friends that are pornographers and porn actors, and I've been on set observing the acting, and it is acting.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of it that isn't honest, in that they're not really having an orgasm. They're not really enjoying themselves. It's a means to an end because they're gearing it to a male audience. So the male is relating to the man in the film, not the woman.
And it's so, more about hydraulics, and that's why they always show them.
Hydraulics, that's a good word.
and then, of course, it, almost inevitably, you're going to have the money shot where yeah. the man's orgasm is like the Vesuvian eruption.
yes, and all over her.
yeah. And, you know, I have a really close friend in Candida Royale. We've known each other about 20 years now. And she has the distinction of being the first woman in 1984 to write, produce, and direct erotic films that are very female-friendly. And so these erotic films are intended for couples to watch mm-hmm. To enhance their arousal and entertain and educate. And so I have often either suggested to my couples that they get her films at her royale.com, royale.com, or her direct fam line. But it's really helped them therapeutically because it also seems to open lines of communication.
Exactly.
It's very difficult to turn to your partner and say, I want this, especially for women who are brought up to think that good girls are not supposed to do this sort of thing.
Right.
So if they have a movie, it can really enhance communication. You're probably familiar with Candida Royale's films.
I am. And in fact, I just messaged her on Facebook yesterday. That's
oh, good.
Very funny. Yeah, so I'm trying to connect with her. So
good.
I would love
well,
to
I'm talk with her. Due to have a phone conversation with her. We visit in person every few months, but the phone conversation with her is shortly, and I'll mention that we had this radio show today.
Great.
Because
women
you would like her because she's so bright and so beautiful and so accomplished and, like you, very articulate about what she does.
You know what's been fascinating is, as I've embarked into this arena,
mm-hmm.
the number of women that I've met who are phenomenal, like you and
oh,
Lori.
Oh, thank you.
And Dr. Ava. And
yes, Dr. Ava.
Paula at Evolved World and Kelly Holland, who runs Penthouse. And
uh-huh.
I mean,
oh,
I've
met her. That's right.
The number of yeah. women are just that are really pushing this market in a different direction.
Mm-hmm.
It's phenomenal. And so to be a part of that is thrilling for me.
Mm-hmm.
And the women filmmakers that are coming out now to us. We had many of our films from, we had one really sexy music video from Israel done by a woman.
I saw that on the website.
Mm-hmm. So the women artists are coming forward with mm-hmm. some powerful messages. The film that won the best documentary was A Guide to a Woman's Orgasm.
Yes, and so many women need that, a
right.
guide.
Right. And it was probably the most difficult film for our crowd to watch.
Oh, and why is that? I wish I'd been there. Why was it a difficult film?
Well, partly because the films are shown in the evening at Hedonism
mm-hmm.
around dinner time.
Mm-hmm.
And they're shown in the big open-air dining area. So many
mm-hmm.
people are eating dinner. And so for 35 minutes, this woman is up there masturbating. So it was uncomfortable for people, I think, for that reason.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
also because men aren't accustomed to women taking 35 minutes to have an orgasm.
Mm-hmm.
And the male comments were pretty entertaining because
mm-hmm.
many of them were saying, hurry up.
Mm-hmm.
Why is she taking so long?
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't understand why it took her so long. And many of them couldn't tell that she had had an orgasm.
Yeah, well, of course, orgasms come in all sorts of varieties. And
right.
over the 30 years I've worked as a board-certified sex therapist, I've had lots of anorgasmic women, and I co-led two women's sexuality groups for 11 years. So lots of women who weren't having orgasms and learned to have them. And it's when a woman, this is was a small bit of research, but it should interest you, Nancy. So when women learn to have orgasms consistently and maybe even multiply, if they were in work that did not satisfy them, they changed jobs. If they were in work that they liked, they often advanced. So for me, this bit of research shows that there's a real crossover between sexual confidence and overall confidence. So if a woman knows that she can be powerful in bed and have wonderful, delicious orgasms, not only will it improve her confidence, but, of course, her relationship with her partner is going to be deepened and rich and much richer.
I wholeheartedly agree with that conclusion because, I mean, I know for me in my life when things have shifted in a positive direction sexually, everything blossoms. It awakens you to all your creative juices. Not just the sexuality side of it. And so I believe that. And you can see that. You can see that when you meet women who are suffering and they're so shut down and you know that they're not having delicious sex.
Yeah, can't you just tell?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. The wonderful, creative, prolific author Isabel Allende talks very openly about how she does some of her best writing after she's had great hot sex with her husband. It just opens those creative juices.
It does. It does. We're connected. We're wired that way.
We are. And I was sharing with you off the air how after just last month, I had a new right hip put in place. And I'm just doing so well, but one of the things my partner and I did was some sexual healing where we channeled my orgasms without touching my genitals at all into my right leg. And and we did this for several nights. It was just amazing how that accelerated the healing in my right leg. All that good orgasmic sexual energy. It's sexual healing. Well, you know this as somebody who you work in pain management with your yoga group,
right?
Do you suggest sexual healing to some of your pain people in yoga?
I do.
Uh-huh.
I counsel a lot of women, but men too. Because we also know that when people are hurting, their sex drive is diminished.
Yes.
And they're afraid to have sex for fear that they'll hurt themselves worse.
That's right.
And so they do need to learn new techniques to bring that sexual energy up to the surface without having to go into that fear place. So
yes.
It's tricky, like you found out. I mean, you have to know what you're doing. It requires education.
Yes, and it can be a lot of erotic touching without even penetration.
Oh my gosh. Sensual massage.
Yes.
Can be so incredibly loving and healing and energizing and stimulating, all those things that it doesn't have to be sexual intercourse. It's just about feeling safe and loved and allowing your body to explore pleasure.
Explore pleasure, exactly. Now, I would like to return to, as we distinguish between erotica and porn. And, Candida Royale has, over the course of her career, and by the way, she's mentoring younger women now, which is so appropriate for this field.
Yes.
So I'm thinking back to one of her first films, Urban Heat. And because it really reflects the feminine influence of women writers and directors. And in this film, the woman initiates the contact. There is prolonged foreplay in which the man pleasures the woman. There are no close-ups of commingling genitalia. I mean, they do. You do see penis going into vagina, but the close-ups are not there.
Right.
And above all, we do not witness that. We've already talked about the money shot. And it just, at the time she was doing this, that film was made in the late 80s, early 90s. I mean, it was quite revolutionary.
Right.
And she uses, did I mention this earlier, she used real couples whenever she could.
Mm,
and some of them
good.
Were actually married. And that's why you got that connection.
Right. You could feel the passion and love.
Yeah.
And
when I was co-leading those women's sexuality groups, she had another film with a short blonde-haired actress. What was the name of that film? It had cats in it. I can't think of the name, but the actress clearly, in my mind, was having real orgasms. And I asked Candace about this, and she said, yes, she was. So I loaned that film to some of my pre-orgasmic women just so that they could see that, you know, having an orgasm could be really a lot of fun.
Yes. I know. And that's I think, the difference between erotica and porn. You know, I've had people say, well, you're not going to show any sex. No, not necessarily.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, many of our films that we accepted did not show sex,
but
many did. It really depended on how it was inserted, no pun intended,
right,
into the web of the film. It had to be a part of, it had to feel appropriate. We did get some from great filmmakers, some films that we couldn't accept because although the story was wonderful, it would break in the story, have 23 minutes of sex, and then come back to the story.
Yeah,
and
so it wasn't fluid, the storyline.
It wasn't fluid, and it seemed disjointed.
Disjointed.
And we even asked, my partner Michael Hawks and I were debating, because we really liked the film, but it was just too much sex.
Mm-hmm.
And so he said, well, I'm going to ask a couple of my porn aficionado buddies what they think.
Uh-huh.
So he passed on the film to them, and they even fast-forwarded through the sex scenes because they got bored.
Yeah.
So
I had a kind of a humorous girlfriend when I lived in Los Angeles. She said, my husband thinks that I don't understand porn because I keep fast-forwarding to the plot sections. So it's just the opposite for her. But I think that, you know, there are a lot of people who are sick of the formula stuff, the bad scripts, the shoddy sets.
Right.
And these are people who like sex. They just want a good movie with sex in it.
Be creative. I mean, show me something I don't already know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's kind of what I'm asking for. Be creative. Stimulate my mind. Make me want to sit there and watch the whole thing.
And maybe get turned on so that I'll have hot sex with my partner later, or hotter sex.
Exactly. When I think back to the film 9 1/2 Weeks, when I watched that when it first came out, I still remember, and I hadn't watched it since. I just watched it recently this year because of Zalman King's film being in our film festival.
Yes, yes.
And so I watched it again to see if I remembered it correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And the funny thing was, I remembered it having a lot of sex in it.
Mm.
And it doesn't.
It doesn't. That's right.
But my mind filled in all the places that he left out.
Yeah, the imagination.
And
all the food and slowing things down. And I guess Laurie Handler's movie, I'd love to see it.
Yes.
There's a lot of couples in that eating food off each other, right?
Right, right.
Yeah. So that's got to be very sexy. The other thing that I remember so well from, I'm like you, I haven't even re-seen it, but it sticks in my mind. I love Kim Basinger's striptease to
so sexy.
You Can Leave Your Hat On.
Yes.
Joe, who was the singer there?
Joe Crocker.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
Joe Crocker, and it is so sexy. so now that I'm coming up on being able to really dance again, that's my tune for doing a striptease for my partner, because I think it's just great music.
It is, and you know, Zelman was really great at using lighting. And
yes,
the way he put her in the shadows and then had the light coming through her gown, and I mean, he really used every medium in his films to stimulate your mind. And that's, to me, that's the pinnacle of erotica, is when you're just fascinated by every scene.
And see, this many years later, you're remembering the film. I'm remembering the film.
Right.
I mean, it sticks. Right. Now, so you, it was quite that you got Zalman King's last film.
From him directly. He
from
called
him
us.
Directly.
And he made the phone call himself.
On, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he made the phone call himself last November.
Wow.
And my partner had sent him a letter speaking about our film festival.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just looking for some kind of a letter of endorsement or something from him.
Mm.
And he called Michael up on the phone and said, Michael Hawks, this is Zalman King here. And I love what you're doing. I'm behind it 100%. And I want to submit my latest film. And he hadn't made a film in over 10 years.
Wow.
And
what a coup that was for you to get him.
Oh, let me tell you, we were doing the happy dance. Yes.
I bet.
And it was worth waiting for. It's a phenomenal film.
Yeah, and it must have gotten a lot of attention. Did he die before? When did he die?
He died in February, and he died before he saw the completed project. So it was in editing when he passed.
Yes. The Los Angeles Times, you have this on your website, Eroticos Film Festival. The Los Angeles Times said, Zalman King is the reigning auteur of erotic fantasy. And
yes.
Premier Magazine said he is the high priest of erotic filmmaking. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
High praise. Did you enjoy his film?
I did.
It's Pleasure and Pain or Pain and Pleasure? I've forgotten the order.
Pleasure and Pain.
Yes.
And, yes, I thought it was wonderful. It slowed things down.
Mm-hmm.
It talked about seduction. It was
mm-hmm.
about
mm-hmm.
Obsession.
Mm-hmm.
It was about pushing one's boundaries. I mean, all the things that to me we all kind of toy with at some point.
Yes.
And you know, of course, it's got the theme that all of us girls that grew up with Cinderella like, where you know, pretty girl meets a hot rich guy and he comes and whisks her off, and
mm-hmm.
you know, it's there's so many Cinderella stories out there that we still hang on to.
Well, we can't help ourselves, you know.
This is a very sexy Cinderella story.
Yeah. So Nancy, we're coming up to the half hour break, so we'll take the break.
Okay.
And you and I will come back and discuss more about your film festival. And I want to talk about how I've used erotica therapeutically, and I know you can add to it a lot. So,
excellent.
And then we'll also talk about where you held this film festival, Hedonism.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved one of your proposed talking points. Does sexuality have an expiration date? So please stay with us, because Nancy and I have lots more to talk about. We'll be right back. We're back. This is Dr. Diana Wiley, your host of Love, Lust, and Laughter. And my guest is Nancy Sutton Pierce. And she is the founder, creator of the last month's Eroticos Film Festival. And I just wanted to say that for many years now, probably about close to 20, I have used erotica film, mostly Candida Royale's films, but those films as a therapy tool, mm-hmm. a positive therapy tool, because and you know some people are worried. What I hear is that if men wish anything, it's that their girlfriends or wives were as comfortable with their bodies as these women are, and as comfortable with their sexuality as these women are. And none of these men say, gee, I wish my woman looked like her. You know, we're talking porn now. In fact, a lot of men look at these women and think, oh, they look kind of plastic. Look at those fake boobs and so on. So it can be a very good thing to talk about. It's a stimulus for some discussion, you know, because we like to see enthusiastic women. And in the number of sex education films that I've narrated for the Sinclair Institute, same thing, enthusiastic women enjoying their sex. These are very important messages.
Very. And I think anybody will tell you that the sexiest thing on the planet is confidence.
Very good point.
Mm-hmm. And so that's really what I think what it speaks to, is that women who would be comfortable enough to be in a porn film or an erotic film, mm-hmm. would have to have some heightened level of comfort to be sexual in front of a camera.
Yeah, or even the sex ed that the Sinclair people do. And I was on the set for the last two volumes I did for them, Great Sex for a Lifetime. And yes, they did use some swingers, but they had a lot of married couples. Obviously, these people these were not porn actors. Well, maybe one was. These weren't necessarily porn actors, but they were people. They were exhibitionists. They didn't mind having sex. They were comfortable with their bodies, even the not so perfect ones.
Right. And I think that's what really we've just, many people discover when they go to hedonism. We can kind of even segue into that.
Yeah, please do. That's good. Yeah.
Because Dr. Ava Cadell was one of our judges this year, and
yes.
Dr. Mark Mani, who
mm-hmm.
is a Beverly Hills and Dubai plastic surgeon, were both judges. And one of the things that they both said at different times during the week was how surprised they were to find so many people at this resort,
mm-hmm.
hedonism,
mm-hmm.
with imperfect bodies,
yes,
being so completely comfortable in their own skin.
And walking around the nude beach nude.
Walking around nude, dressing super sexy, provocative,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
wearing fishnet, for goodness sakes, and being completely happy and alive and vibrant. Because this isn't who they see in Beverly Hills, especially the plastic surgeon. He's seeing all the people coming with all their little imperfections that they want to fixed.
Right.
And here are all these people parading around naked or half clothed with all these imperfections who don't care to have it fixed. They're happy the way they are.
Well, and what we know about good sex is that it's very important to be in the moment, to be mindful, to let go, especially for women and who want to have orgasms or more of them or whatever, to surrender.
Exactly.
And a woman can't do that if she's thinking about her droopy breast or her chubby thigh. She can't do that.
Right. Right. You're not thinking about your pleasure when you're thinking about your saggy whatevers, you know.
Your saggy whatevers, exactly. And most men, you know, I've talked to lots of men over the years, and they're just mostly quite happy to have you naked with them.
Yes. Oh, there was a great movie. I don't remember. It had Harrison Ford and Anna Haish in it. And they were talking about foreplay. And she said, what's foreplay for a man? And he said, show up. So it's pretty simple. Show up, get naked, we're good to go. But women, as we know, are much more complicated than that. So
yes.
that really is the whole point of the erotica, is because we are more complicated than that. We do hold on to more. Being able to multitask the way women can, I think there's an upside to that, but there's also a downside to that, in that we have a hard time letting go of that multitasking. So
yes.
When we're trying to be sexual and we're thinking about, did I pick the kids up at the right time? Have I done the laundry? Are my breasts looking okay? That last time I really struggled with this, our brain's going in a million different directions. And so if we can use erotica or pornography or some kind of outside stimulus to focus our attention on sexuality.
It's very difficult. You know, women have a bigger corpus callosum because we're wired that way, our brains are made that way, because if we're having sex and we have a baby, we have to be able to hear the baby cry.
Right.
And but women take it to a whole new level. And when I was at the UCLA Female Sexual Medicine Center, I worked with a urologist who also took it to a whole new level. She would actually write prescriptions for Ritalin for women who multitask so that they could focus. And I have much more organic ways of helping women focus. And, you know, one way, for instance, is because distracting thoughts inevitably will come in, particularly if a woman isn't that confident or that comfortable with her sexuality or trying too hard to have an orgasm or be present. So I suggest that they see their distracting thoughts kind of just gently going away on a conveyor belt from their mind. or what we're told in meditation, you know, we have a little monkey, the monkey mind. We have little monkeys out on the branch making noise and trying to distract us. So quiet the monkeys and come back to what's going on.
Right.
And this is why sensate focus homework can be so useful.
Yes.
Erotic massage.
Right. Right, because we need to come back into our bodies. You know, Deepak Chopra talks about how, you know, you can go into a metaphysical bookstore and find 1,000 books on out-of-body experiences. You can't find one on in-the-body experiences.
Such a good point.
So we've left our bodies on so many different levels. You can just tell by how we treat them. So bringing people back into their body to feel, to experience,
to feel,
to know what it is they're feeling.
Now, how do you do that, Nancy, for instance, when you're teaching a yoga class on pain management? Do you incorporate any of this, be in your body, pay attention to your body?
Totally.
Even if it's, I would think. So can
Absolutely.
You explain that? Yes.
We demystify it in that we take off the labels.
Mm-hmm.
So rather than calling something pain, we just call it sensation, and we put it on a continuum. So I travel people around their bodies through the meditative process to experience whatever they're experiencing in that part of their body, just to have it as a sensation.
Mm-hmm.
It might be, we relabel it. It might be cool, it might be warm, it might be knotted, it might be free, it might be, we put new names on it that aren't so scary.
Yeah.
And so that when you can teach a person that they can be having pleasure and pain at the same time, both of those sensations on that scale.
Yes.
And they can focus their attention on which one they can choose.
They can choose. That's powerful.
It is very powerful, and it takes 5 minutes, and it's amazing to watch people's whole face expression change when they realize that they don't have to just look at the pain 24 hours a day.
I can only imagine. You're doing such important work, and I happen to know you're missing your class so you can do this program, and I'm going to try to entice you to do part two next week.
To miss one more class.
I can do that.
Oh, thank you. So, yeah, it's just because this is such important work. And then once, and Betty Whipple's, not Betty Whipple, Beverly Whipple's work has shown that when women are having orgasms, she did this in the lab at Rutgers University, they experience less pain.
Oh, absolutely. Right. I mean, just the brain chemistry that shifts when you have an orgasm.
Yeah.
It marinates the body in this yummy juice, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, I mean, pain is a perception.
Yeah.
So it's our interpretation of a perception of a stimuli. And so with that, then you can, your experience shifts.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty phenomenal.
Yeah, I think your medical background and knowledge serves you very well.
It does. And like I said, even though I'm not a practicing nurse, like being a nurse or a doctor, you're always that. You know,
I know, yeah.
I don't know. You can't ever get away from that aspect of yourself.
No. I don't plan to retire. I just love my work, and I love my clients, and it's just so satisfying. So, but if I ever did retire, which is highly unlikely, I doubt if I could stop being a sex therapist.
Right.
It would kind of eke out.
It does. Yeah, you can't help it.
Yes. So let's go back to hedonism, and we'll save probably some of our talking points for next week. You can do next week. Yes, you said you could. Yes.
Yeah,
okay, great.
Next week.
So, but here you are. Hedonism, too, in Jamaica is a pretty famous resort. Can you talk about it and how it, I mean, we've already talked a little bit about how people are comfortable in all shapes and all of that strolling around the nude beach. But how did you come to decide that hedonism was going to be just this venue that would be perfect for the Eróticos Film Festival?
7 years ago, my husband and I went to hedonism for the first time on a vacation.
Uh-huh, 7 years ago.
And it took us 10 years of discussing it before we got up the courage to go because we'd heard all the stories.
Mm-hmm.
As you say, famous, and some people say infamous. So and they refer to themselves as notorious.
Uh-huh.
So it does have a reputation. Hedonism, too, has been in existence for 31 years.
I did not know that long. Okay.
Yes. So they have a long-standing reputation of being a wild and crazy place. Be wicked for a week is their motto.
Oh, I like that.
but the reality is that can mean anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's really based on the individual. It's a no pressure zone. It's goddess oriented. It is free spirited, and everybody is welcomed. So there's really. Whatever you want to have happen, you probably could get to have happen there. But if you don't want it, it's not going to happen. So
yeah.
it's like I said, it's not as scary as I thought it was going to be.
Uh-huh.
So we went 7 years ago.
Yeah.
In our first 24 hours, realized that we'd been foolish in waiting that long. We'd wasted 10 precious years. And by midweek, we were trying to figure out how we could get back there more than once a year.
And have you managed to do that?
By the end of the week, we were trying to get back there every quarter. And there was a yoga teacher that was teaching there. And so I spoke to the management and asked, how could I teach yoga?
Ah, yes, good.
So I came home, sent on my resume, all my qualifications, and that was in November. And then February, we were back to teach Valentine's couples yoga.
Oh, good.
And so this February will be my 8th Valentine's to go back and teach yoga. So I go back 2, 3, 4 times a year, pretty much whenever I want now.
Yeah.
And teach yoga. And I teach usually sensual yoga, so it's a little bit sexier than what I might teach in my studio. but still classical, you know, honest
sure.
yoga.
And do people wear exercise clothes,
uh-huh.
yoga pants, or they
most of the time,
are naked, or what?
Most of the time, they wear exercise clothing.
Mm-hmm.
I've had a few people show up naked. That's always interesting.
Yeah.
I teach with clothes on,
yeah, okay.
so nobody's going to get to see that.
But if people go to your website, they'll see what a really beautiful woman you are.
Oh, thank you.
With a true yoga, slender body. Clearly, you've taken good care of yourself, and that's part of what gives you energy and creativity.
Oh my gosh, yes, yeah. I don't know, you know. Even when I pack on a few extra winter pounds, I just don't feel as good. And
yeah.
And I pay very close attention to how I feel. I am in my body, and so I
right.
do try to take good care of myself. I'm 55,
mm-hmm.
just turned
yeah.
55 last month, and
uh-huh.
I've got two little granddaughters, 8 and 10, that I need to keep up with. So I
right.
never imagined I'd be doing headstands with my grandchildren, but I do.
And then that probably adds to your creativity, too, because you get a little more blood to your brain.
It certainly does.
But, no, that's great. And, you know, to learn to be in your body, because my own sexuality is vibrant and et cetera, I feel like I can be in my body. But you know, with this last little business of hip replacement, and my partner Brian pointed out that I am more than ever into my body, and it's been illuminating.
Wow!
You know, to just pay attention to that.
Yes. Yeah. Just experience it.
And
right.
Experience it, and I liked what you said earlier about the pleasure pain continuum and kind of you said you need to refocus it and so on. So
yeah, we could do a whole hour on the whole pleasure pain thing, but
back to whatever
just,
you want.
Why I chose hedonism is because of the type of people that it attracts. It attracts like-minded people. It
mm-hmm.
attracts open-minded people, people
mm-hmm.
who really want to live sexy in their relationships,
yeah.
in their daily life.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't attract just perfect-bodied people. Doesn't attract people in their, you know, that are just in their 20s that haven't
mm-hmm.
lived any life. I mean, a few people in their 20s do go, but the average age there is probably in the late 40s.
Mm-hmm.
And that's average. I've met many people in their 70s and 80s who go there. So,
and this must be very liberating for them.
It is, and it has the highest revisiting rate of any resort in the world.
That is very impressive.
At any given time, more than 50% of the people there have been there before.
Mm.
I've been there 20 times.
Wow.
It's
20 times.
I know, it's an obsession.
Yeah, and I guess, doesn't your husband usually join you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. Yeah, I've only gone once without him, but because I'd committed to teach and he couldn't get off work, so.
Ah, okay.
But yeah, we go together and it's just.
And you have fun.
Oh my gosh! You laugh. You make the best friends. We have friends that we've had now for 8 years that we meet back up every time, every year, to do the yoga. You just meet people that you can talk about anything with at any time. It's very different, and it's a very friendly place. And
yes,
in other words, by midweek you pretty much know everybody there.
Isn't that incredible? Well,
it is.
I
unique.
Can hardly wait to go.
I can hardly wait to get you there.
Terrific. Because I've been aware of this place for a long time, just kind of like you discussed. You and Mark were aware, and you talked about it, and then you finally went. And part of it was that I was a speaker, as I told you off the air, for the Lifestyles Annual Convention for 2 years, some years ago. And of course, we got information about hedonism too. There, Mm-hmm. And, you know, people are better off if they talk about things, if they're open, if they communicate. and so many people have a lot of trouble with that.
Yes, and that is probably the biggest gift that hedonism has given to Mark and I.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we talked about this, we mm-hmm. developed a style of communication that we kind of nicknamed Dance or Don't Dance. And I actually wrote a column on it, my sex columns.
Oh, is that available to look at?
It's on my website, asyoudesire.net.
Asyoudesire.net.
It's called A New Form of Truth or Dare.
Dance or Don't Dance.
Dance or Don't Dance.
Oh, I'm going to read that before we do part two next week. So go on with that idea. And by the way, we need to stop in about 3 minutes. They like me to stop a couple minutes before the top of the hour.
Okay.
So all right. So you dance or don't dance. So you and your husband did this.
Right. We would talk about it, and we would dance around the subject. Do you want to go? Well, if you want to go, I might like to go. Well, tell me, would you want to go? Well, maybe if you do. And we were back and forth.
Yeah.
And finally, on a long drive from L.A., my husband says to me, all right, stop dancing. Just tell me what you want. It's a safe zone. You can say anything right now with no repercussions.
Mm-hmm.
Just tell me what you want.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I want to go. And he said, great, so do I. And we booked the trip.
Excellent.
But we now use that in everything that's difficult to talk about.
Yeah.
And it has changed our marriage phenomenally.
Isn't that wonderful? And you've been married, what did you tell me, 26 years?
We've been together 26. We've been married 19.
That's so impressive.
And yeah.
And what we're going to talk about next week, you've lived. You have not let your sexuality expire. Not
right.
In terms of interest and keeping the... keeping boredom out of the equation. You know, so many couples have trouble with this.
Right.
It's just so much trouble with boredom, and they fall into ruts. And, you know, I get couples like that all the time. So, 19 years married is impressive, Nancy.
And we are crazy in love. I mean, crazy. People tell us all the time, get a room. Because we're ridiculous. But you know, it's so much fun. I mean, we are very playful. And we have 3 grown kids. Our youngest is 30. And so we really feel very, very good and powerful about the examples that we set for our children's marriages. Because we want them to know that it's okay to still be sassy and spicy. You don't have to stop that just because whatever you believe, you know, whether it's society or children or that time of your life or age or whatever. We'll talk about that more next week. But
we will. And Nancy, thank you so much. And what a fascinating interview you've provided for this program, and I'm very grateful, and I'm also so happy you agreed to return for part two next week.
I will. I'll be here.
Yeah, so thank you. What a remarkable woman you are. Amazing. And I'm really glad we've connected.
Me too. I have a feeling it's going to be a long friendship. Thank you.
I think so too, Nancy. Thank you. And we'll talk more next week. So join us, a listening audience, at that time. Bye-bye, everybody. Happy feet, da da da, happy feet.